The concept of absolute knowledge is the foundation of who and what I am. This is Dr. Herb L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. The concept of absolute knowledge is the foundation of who and what I am. Now, it seems as though the last few days we've been talking about absolute and knowledge, and that it is really not really what absolute is, because absolute does not have knowledge about it. And here we're saying the concept of absolute knowledge is the foundation of who I am. Yes, yes, yes. The concept, not the knowledge, but the concept. For our human thinking, we have to have words that we put with concepts. We have to have words that we put with our ideals and our ideas. And as we have these words that we put with them, beautiful things happen. Now, how do we do that? How do we have beautiful things happen? How do we let these beautiful things be responsive in our life? How do we let these beautiful things come about in our life so that we have this absolute knowledge, the concept of absolute knowledge? It's the foundation of who and what I am. Now, the concept of absolute knowledge is that knowledge of the absolute. The absolute is, as we continually report to ourselves, it's an is. It's a concept. It's an idea. It's not an expression. It's not a living activity in which there is a scenario going with it like a movie screen. It is a universal exception. It's a universal content that has no comparison in the relative world. The relative world is quite true. The relative world is quite real. But the relative world is a world of illusions. Well, now, isn't absolute a world of illusion too? Yes, it is. And why are we saying that the relative, presumably, is not as wonderful as absolute is wonderful? Why do we say absolute is what we want to achieve, what we want to aspire to, what we want to enjoy? Well, yes, absolute is a culmination. The relative is the road leading to that culmination, perhaps. Absolute is the culmination of our thinking, our planning, our living, our being. It's who and what I am. And the relative is that pathway that leads to who and what I am. Now, can we get to absolute without going the pathway of the relative? Many people do. Many people have a spiritually illumined concept, or they're spiritually illumined, and they do no longer walk that pathway of the human. They live in the consciousness of their spiritual reality. And their spiritual reality is absolute. Now, we've referred to bliss as something devoutly to be desired. Bliss is so devoutly to be desired because bliss, as we understand it, is in a state of oneness, in a state of peace, in a state of relaxation, in a state of no searching, no feeling that you're incomplete yet. That's the word there. Bliss is feeling complete. That's a good reference for it. Bliss is feeling complete. Bliss is the feeling that all is in order and all is wonderful now and all is finished. Not that it's ended, but it's finished. You arrive at that point. And I like to throw the barb in there. When you arrive at that point, then you find that you're at the threshold of another point. You're at the threshold of another revelation or understanding of the revealing of who you really are. And there are no words to describe that aspect of it, because that aspect goes beyond what our human consciousness can even contemplate. It goes beyond whatever we have been told, whatever we've heard, whatever we've thought. We have difficulty contemplating bliss, which is a high level of awareness. And bliss is not really an awareness, because those who have bliss are not really aware that they had bliss or are in bliss. Or when you're in bliss, you no longer are aware that there's a relative world in which you one time thought was so important. Absolute is that stage of our of consciousness or our awareness, as the knowledge of the Absolute. It's a foundation of who and what I am. Because we say of the relative, being yourself and having fun, this is the essence of all these things that we're doing. But what do we say when we're talking about Absolute? Can we say being yourself and having fun in Absolute? Absolute has no self of which to be, and there's no fun of which to be a comparative action or activity with anything else, because you are fulfilled. You are arriving at that state of bliss, or being in that state of bliss, where all is in perfect divine order. Divine order. All is... There is nothing to be all. There is nothing to be in divine order, because there's only the oneness. And how can oneness be in divine order? Divine order is for us humans. Divine order is for those who live on the relative level, as we are doing. And when we reach the divine level, when we reach Absolute, then there is no order to be contemplated. There is no order to be considered, because all is one. All is bliss. All is the beauty of our being. All is who and what we are. And my goodness, that is a very wonderful, positive area to be in. It's something for us to really be thoughtful about. The concept of Absolute. We could dwell upon the thoughts of bliss, but it means nothing. We hear the story of the Buddha and how he experienced bliss, and how he had a choice in his consciousness of staying and telling the world and the universe what he had experienced in bliss, or moving on into that bliss and having the life of that bliss and being absolutely dissolved from the world in which he had lived. But he chose to stay. Actually, you and I have chosen to stay many times. We have touched bliss, but we don't remember that we touched bliss, just like the Buddha. He wanted to tell the world about bliss, and there was nothing to say. He said, "Let nature talk to you." He said, "Let your inner reveal itself." He said, "There is the inner fold and the outer fold path." And all of that was purely relative. The inner fold path was relative, and the outer fold path was relative. The teachings of the Patanjali were taught by the Buddha and brought down into even a more grand definition of the inner and the outer path. You see, so long as you think path, you are not in bliss. So long as you think path exists, you do not think bliss exists. Because the more you think bliss exists, the more you listen within to that still small voice, as it wants to say, but I say that grand, eloquent voice within us, speaking the truth about us, saying, "You are wonderful, you are perfect, you are beautiful, you are relaxed, you are the joy of the world, you are everything that is good." And you see, the more you think those thoughts, the more you think those thoughts, the more you like saying, "I am number one," the more you like being who you are. And pretty soon, the liking of being who you are fades into nothingness, and you are who you are. And when you are who you are, then you are in that state of bliss. You are in the state of unawareness, awareness of your oneness in the allness, and your nothingness in the allness. That's why philosophers love to play with those terms, because those terms, at some moment, is going to be meaningful to the philosophers, and you are all philosophers. At some moment, it's going to be meaningful to us as we say these things that we don't understand, as we say these almost silly things. And when that moment comes, like the Buddha sitting under the Bodhi tree, and the inspiration came upon him of his divinity, when that moment comes, we are ready for it, and we are excited about it, and we think that all is just fantastic, all is just great, all is, and we are. What a wonderful world we live in. What a wonderful time we live in. A time of understanding, a time of awareness, a time of purity, a time of absolute goodness. This is who you are. This is who I am. This is all that life is. And it is good and very good. Think of these things. The concept of absolute knowledge is the foundation of who and what I am. Join me in the awareness of bliss now and every moment of my life. I love you. I love you. I love you.